So our scripture reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 1, 21 through 28. And here's God's word for us today. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he, Jesus, entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." The unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, and they kept asking one another, "What is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands, and even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, we kind of began the service with a show of hands. I got another question for that. Is there anybody here that likes to be told what to do? Raise your hand if you like to be told what to do. Yeah, you know, when I was writing the sermon, I was kind of thinking about the answer to that question, and it was my guess I was not going to have a lot of takers, right? Having authority in 2021 is a tricky proposition. You know, there are some reasons why I think authority is an issue, and then there are a lot of invalid issues about why or why not we should question authority. And here we read a passage of Scripture where we're told Jesus is teaching with authority. And I wonder, were there listeners there who questioned that? Does Jesus have the authority to say what he's saying? You know, who is this Jesus that he would teach with such authority, and why should we listen to him? Yeah, I think we can infer from the passage that the scribes of Jesus' day rarely taught boldly. And it was almost a surprise as Jesus spoke. And Mark says that Jesus' listeners were astounded. And the Greek word there for astounded means to strike out of one's senses. And so I think perhaps what Mark is trying to communicate was that when Jesus spoke, you know, it knocked the socks off of his listeners. Right, they couldn't believe that what they were hearing. Like, this was something new. This is something unique. This is something that we really ought to pay attention to. And the scribes of the day would normally just kind of stand up and talk about what somebody else has said. Like, this is what Rabbi so-and-so has to say about God's word. This is what Rabbi so-and-so has to say. But Jesus, however, taught with authority. And I think there's a handful of reasons why that's important. And the first point is this, that Jesus taught with authority because he had authority. Jesus taught with authority because he had authority. You know, last time I was with you, we looked at Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, and we talked about God's trustworthiness. That God is a God who keeps his promises. And perhaps the most important promise God ever gave to us was the promise of a Messiah. The promise that one day God himself would walk among with us and would redeem us from our sins. Well, church, Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise. And Jesus is the one that brought this divine message, and that he was confident that it came from God. And Jesus wasn't quoting what a man said about Scripture. He was getting what God says about Scripture. You know, Jesus' authority came from the fact that he and God were one. In John chapter 8, Jesus is having a discussion with some Pharisees, again, kind of surrounding with the way Jesus taught and the authority that he taught. And so these Pharisees ask Jesus, "Well, who are you that you can say such things?" So Jesus tells them exactly who he is. He says to them in John 8:58, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. I am." You know, these are the very words that Jesus spoke when the Roman centurions came to arrest him, and they said, they're looking for Jesus, and he says, I am. And they all fell to the ground out of fear. I am. These are the words that came from the burning bush when Moses asked who this was. God, who are you? And the bush, and God replied, I am. And Jesus is making this proclamation to anybody who would listen. I am. God and I are one. And this is why the Pharisees wanted to stone him right then and there, because they believed he was speaking blasphemy. How can somebody claim to be God if they weren't? And, you know, Jesus taught with authority because he was God with us, the promised Messiah. He had authority. Secondly, Jesus taught with authority because he knew what he was talking about. You know, as any good teacher knows, you can't teach authority if you're not familiar with your material. You know, for example, I'm not going to name any special names, but have you ever tried to help your 14-year-old with her math homework? It is extremely difficult to come across as an authority because, I don't know, someone like me doesn't remember ninth grade math too well. You know, it's hard. It's difficult to come across as convincing and someone who knows what they're talking about when you're more confused than your daughter is. But in John chapter 1, this is what we're told. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. You know, not to get too deep into Trinitarian theology this morning, you know, hear what this verse is saying. The Word, He, Jesus, was in the beginning. The Word, Jesus, was with God. The Word, Jesus, was God. Jesus has always existed. Jesus is part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Holy God, Holy One, Holy Three. You know, one of our historic creeds of the church is the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed was written in 325 AD, and it was written to counter certain heresies that were going on in that day and to confirm an orthodox understanding of who Jesus is. Now, picking up with the second paragraph of the Nicene Creed, this is what it says. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten, right? Not created, not made, begotten from the Father before all of ages. And then it continues, and this is really important. It says, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence of the Father. You know, we, the church, have always believed that Jesus has always existed. And this is what gives Jesus his authority. Right? Jesus knows what he's talking about. He's always existed. He and the Father are one. You know, when you create something, you're not just an authority. Right? You are the authority. You are the creator. And so if you want to know about a light bulb, who better to ask than Thomas Edison? And if you want to know about the telegraph, who better to ask than Stephen Morse? If you want to know about E equals MC squared, you go to Albert Einstein. But if you want to know why we were created, if you want to know how we should live, then we ask Jesus, because he was there. Jesus is our creator. Jesus is our authority. Right? He has authority because he knows what he's talking about. And Jesus taught with authority because he believed what he taught. You know, when you believe what you teach, it comes through to your audience with authority. Now, have you ever met someone famous? And did they turn out the way that you expected them to turn out? Or were they a little bit different? You know, I've met a handful of, you know, what I would consider famous people, usually you know, authors and kind of pastors that are really well known. One in particular that I remember meeting was Lee Strobel. And if you don't know who Lee Strobel is a pastor and an author. But Lee's fame, at least to me, really comes from his testimony. In his prior life to being a pastor, Lee was an award-winning investigative journalist with the Chicago Tribune. Lee was also a devout atheist, right? He was strong in his atheism. Well, Lee was married, and his wife was also a devout atheist, until she wasn't, right? Some friends talking to her in various circumstances, she became a believer. And this caused a lot of problems in his marriage. And so Lee set out to do what he did best, right? He was going to set out to disprove Christianity. This is what his job was. This is what he excelled at. But as he investigated, he became convinced. He tried and he tried and tried to disprove Christianity, but all of these proofs kept coming up. And he realized he couldn't. The harder he tried, the more convinced he became. And he became a Christian. He gave his heart to Jesus. He's written a number of really wonderful books. I think perhaps the most notable book he's written is The Case for Christ. Highly recommend it. And there's also a wonderful movie by the same name, The Case for Christ, that you can find. I met Lee a number of years ago at a conference and had a chance to talk with him and interact with him. And, you know, it was really, really cool. Like, I was really geeked out about it. I even shook his hand. You know, that was back in 2006, and I have not washed this hand since. And so, if I've ever shaken your hand, by kind of osmosis, you have shaken Lee Strobel's hand. Kind of powerful. But there are also a handful of other faith leaders I've met throughout the years. You know, and after meeting them, it was kind of like, eh. Right? What how they came across publicly didn't seem to jive with how they were publicly, you know, how they were away from the pulpit. And as a result of that, the authority that they had in my life really kind of dwindled. But Jesus lived what he believed. Now, Jesus is the one who gave the command to love one another. He says this in John chapter 13. A new command I give you, love one another. And as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everybody's going to know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And then Jesus goes out and does exactly this. I mean, whether it's a blind beggar that he meets on the side of a road or that short tax agent who climbed up a tree, even a woman that he meets at a well who had a somewhat problematic reputation, Jesus loved them. Jesus loved far and near. He loved us. He loved the world so much that he went to the cross. He went to a death he didn't deserve or earn. And he died a criminal's death so that you and I could have purpose in this life and an eternal life in the next. Jesus is the one that gave us the command to pray for our enemies. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And then as Jesus hangs on the cross, he utters this prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. You know, I could go on and on, but I think you get what I'm trying to say. Jesus is the real deal. Right, Jesus not only told us how to live, but then he went out and lived it himself. He taught with authority because he believed what he taught. And lastly, Jesus taught with authority, and even the enemy could recognize it. And it's something we don't talk too much about, but perhaps we should, is that the reality is that there is a world beyond the one that we can see. Right, a realm beyond what we can see. You know, it's written, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, I don't believe that every bad thing in our lives is an act of the devil. Right? We live in a fallen world, and sin has corrupted everything good. But I also believe that there is an enemy out there looking to for each one of us. And Jesus says in John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The Apostle Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 5:8, discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls about looking for someone to devour. But you know, church, here's the cool thing about authority, about true authority, is you can't miss it. Right? When someone with true authority speaks, everybody listens. You know, that passage we read this morning, Mark 1:24, it says, and the unclean spirit cries out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Jesus is even outnumbered. What will you have to do with us? Plural spirits. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. You know, our enemy, God's enemy, shudders at the name of Jesus. That's one of the reasons why we pray in Jesus' name, because we recognize that at the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess, every knee will bow that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's power in the name of Jesus. Jesus teaches with authority, and even his enemies recognize it. And so, church, you know, I think that, you know, it's like you preach a sermon, it's kind of like, well, so what? What does that mean? What does this have to do with me today? Well, you know, today we're celebrating communion. You know, we're celebrating the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the question is, does Jesus have the authority to do this? You know, the question of authority to us is a question, does Jesus have the ability to pay for our sins? Does Jesus have the ability or have the right to speak into our lives, telling us the way that we should live? You know, if Jesus has no authority, then communion has no efficacy. But if Jesus has the authority to speak into our lives, then it changes everything. It's kind of like God's trustworthiness that we were talking about last time. You know, are we able to take God at God's word? Are we able to place ourselves under the authority of Jesus Christ? Are we able to say to Jesus, Jesus, you are not only my Savior, but you are my Lord, my sovereign, the authority I am placing myself under? Because that, church, makes a difference. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you this morning for being our sovereign. Lord, for being in a position where you are able to speak authoritatively about our lives. This morning, Lord, as we celebrate communion, Lord, we also recognize that you have the authority to place your sinless life in front of ours. So that when the Heavenly Father sees us, he sees the blood of Christ. He sees a saved sinner paid with, paid for, redeemed by his Son's blood. Jesus, thank you and continue to be that authority. Forgive us for those times when we rebel. Forgive us for those times when we think we know better. Jesus, you are the authority. It's in your name, dear Savior, we pray. Amen.